The line stretches all the way around the block, waiting patiently. Even though it's dark, the desire to vote here is very bright.
Well, that's an optimistic way to put it, isn't it? Well done.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's why.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
It ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Here I am.
Yes, I'm stuck in the middle.
Barely from Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles. This is the broadcast as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA. Also in Red Bluff and Redding, California on KFOI, Round Mountains, KKRN, and Eureka's KGOE. In Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's KSO, and Eugene's KEPW. In Lancaster, Pennsylvania on WLRI, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU. In Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP. In Grand Rapids on WPRR, New Orleans, WHIV, Gallup, New Mexico's KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN. In Fayetteville, Arkansas on KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950 KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe for you every day on the internets on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Indie Media Weekly, FYI Nation, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, Workforce Rising, Deprogrammed Radio, and Detour Talk, Blanketing Planet Earth. 5 days a week. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us today. My eyes are bleary, frankly, after a very long night on Super Tuesday, crawling through results and problem reports on Twitter and email and elsewhere after voting ended in 14 states and American Samoa, by the way, on Tuesday.
Oh, so many problem reports.
I think that was Mike Bloomberg's one win, by the way. It was in American Samoa. Well done, American Samoans. Though for all of the thousands of tweets that I called through yesterday, Desi Doyen, and last night and so far today, my favorite one, self-serving though it may be,
yes,
comes from Andres Torres, who says, quote, "All I know is that I'll be back listening to the Brad Blogs, the Bradcast, after a long hiatus, hashtag shoulda listened to Brad."
Aw. Well,
I like that.
Yes, I'm glad. I'm glad he's back listening, and I'm sorry it sounds like he had to wait in a really long line.
We may need someone to make up some T-shirts with that hashtag, by the way, to sell, you know, for fundraisers for the broadcast, or you can just stop by bradblog.com/donate and get nothing in return other than truth over your public airwaves and warnings about impending disasters that only we seem to be able to see coming in advance for some reason, for some ridiculous reason. I don't understand why. Hashtag shoulda listened to Brad. To that end, we will get to the reported results from Super Tuesday in a bit. But as usual, everyone else covers the horse race. Almost nobody covers the track conditions on which those horses are running, which, as we always warn, can make all of the difference. And that's why we do what we do here in that regard. And to that end, voters stood in line for 2 hours or more at some California precincts on Super Tuesday. But according to AP, that was nothing compared to what some voters endured in Texas, where some ballots were finally being cast at midnight in the Lone Star State. According to CNN's Ed Lavandera, the last voter at Texas Southern University, a man by the name of Hervis Rogers, walked out of the voting booth after it took him, quote, nearly 7 hours to vote.
Oh, my goodness.
That is obscene. So frankly, add both Texas and California to America's great and still growing electoral hall of shame today. The two biggest delegate prizes on Super Tuesday became the two biggest headaches for voters and for different reasons in each, argues AP. A new voting system in LA County. Oh, I hadn't heard. They have a new system in LA County? I read all the papers, and I only heard something vague about a great new voting experience that was coming to L.A. Hashtag shoulda listened to Brad. They write a bevy of new statewide election reforms in California all conspired to slow the process for scores of California voters. In Texas, a party-controlled primary system that includes requiring equal numbers of voting machines for both major political parties, that appears to be the key reason that thousands of Democratic voters were stuck at polling places for 5, 6, even 7 hours. As we noted yesterday on the show, some of the counties had encouraged the two parties in Texas to share machines since they are, after all, 100% unverifiable touchscreens in many of Texas's major jurisdictions, so they could handle both parties' ballots on the same machines, but the Republicans, it seems, did not want to, knowing that their primary with Trump, who was locked in as their candidate, would likely be a sparsely attended affair, while Democrats would likely have big turnout, and they did, about 2-1 compared to Republicans down in Texas. And yet those Democrats would be limited by only having access to half as many machines as they could. Remember the other day when I argued that voter suppression is now a central tenet of the Republican Party, a central value for Republicanisms is voter suppression? Well, there you go. Another example of that down in Texas. Any way they can do it. Back to AP here. I first tried to vote at 1 p.m. Central Time and finally got done at 6.05 p.m., said Ahmed King, a radiology technician in Houston. I have never experienced anything like this before, he said. He said he was able to vote only after giving up on long lines in a majority African-American area and heading to a polling place in a predominantly white and Latino neighborhood. In 2019... Harris County adopted a that's Houston. Is it not, Desi Doyen,
it is.
As our Texas expert?
Yes.
Born and bred? All right. Harris County adopted a system also used by many other Texas counties that lets voters cast their ballot at any polling place in the county. They're called voting centers, but critics charge that there are more of them sometimes available and accessible in non-minority areas, and the implementation of these new voting centers in Los Angeles on Tuesday was just one of many problems for its new Voting Solutions for All People, or VSAP system, as LA calls it, but we'll get there in a moment, promise. Brian Escobedo waited 4 hours to cast his ballot at Texas Southern University in Houston. Afterward, he told the Houston Chronicle that some voters were sharing painkillers and water to help them get through the grueling wait time. Remember, they're most likely standing for all of those hours. He told the paper, "This is the worst voting experience I've ever had. If it's hard, that means you have to do it. They bank on people walking away," he said. Yeah, true, though some people simply cannot do it. Yesterday, I also reported on long lines in the Austin area, that's Travis County, where touchscreen voting machines and e-poll books reportedly failed, along with staff shortages reportedly due to fears of the coronavirus. While there were scattered reports of what AP calls, ready, voting glitches in several of the states voting on Super Tuesday, they are not glitches, AP. They're failures. They prevent voters from voting at all. Anyway, California and Texas, the nation's most populous states, had the most noticeable problems. California experienced problems statewide, thanks to new voting reforms such as same-day registration and a surge in voters eager to cast a ballot in the hotly contested Democratic presidential primary, that left more than a dozen counties temporarily unable to access the state's voter registration database at all. Gosh, imagine how it's going to go in November. According to the Sacramento Bee's coverage midday on Tuesday, I referenced this on yesterday's broadcast, but I didn't have time to dive into detail. State election officials say a connectivity issue involving the California Secretary of State's voter file database forced local vote centers in 15 counties not even counting Los Angeles, by the way, to look up voters' info and print ballots manually. That slowed the process considerably across the state for voters on Tuesday. According to a statement from the California Secretary of State Alex Padilla's office, this should not prevent any voters from casting a ballot, as counties have contingency procedures in place to check in voters. If a voter left, they said, without casting a ballot, we encourage them to go back to the polls before 8 p.m. Well, a lot of people can't go back, and while it might not have kept them from voting, it might have kept them in line for hours on end. Sacramento County Elections and Voter Registration spokesperson said the system appeared to be back up and running around noon in the state's capital, but that starting a couple of hours after the polls opened at 7 a.m., election workers were unable to access voter files from the state database on their new electronic poll books, the computers at the polling places. Secretary of State spokesman confirmed that the office has had technical issues related to that database, but said he had no more specific details than that, making me wonder, was it an error with the system? Was it a hack? Was it a test for a hack of some sort to be implemented this November? That aspect of the story alone should be very troubling to all Americans, and certainly to the state of California, as these voting centers, which rely on the internet and computerized electronic poll books to work so that voters can cast their vote at all. And this was essentially the last test run before November for these new systems across California. I'd say California, many counties did not pass that test, and yet here we go. Let's bring on the general election in November. The Fresno Bee reported Fresno County's election computer system apparently crashed entirely around 9:15 a.m. on Election Day. Just crashed. The Secretary of State's public-facing website was also struggling to keep up with demand on Tuesday, returning timeout errors as of the start of the day on Tuesday. The entire county network went down, said Valerie Cooper, an election coordinator at a voting center located in downtown Fresno. In L.A. County, the state's biggest prize, with some 5.5 million voters, which is larger than 42 entire states, electronic poll books that are connected to the voter database were operating slowly, according to County Registrar Recorder spokesman Mike Sanchez. He said that was because of the high number of voters. Even so, delays were 2 hours or longer in some locations. Beverly Hills City Councilman Julian Gold said waiting times there were 2.5 to 3 hours in Beverly Hills. He said he was told the delays were related to voter check-in. Of course, Julian Gold was one of the candidates who was running for Beverly Hills City Council on Tuesday and had the unfortunate position of being number 5 out of 5 candidates to show up on the new LA County touchscreen voting systems, which only show 4 candidates at a time. And you have to know to hit the more button in order to see additional candidates. If you accidentally hit the next button, you'll go to the next race instead, and you would have never seen Dr. Gold.
And there's no way to know how many voters didn't see the more versus the next button and didn't know that they had more candidates. So who knows?
Well, before they even got to that, though, Gold said there's frustration and people are walking away. He says, I don't know if they'll come back. So yeah, AP, those are not glitches. Those are failures. Election officials had one job. One job every, 2 years or so, and they failed at it miserably, and perhaps nowhere more so in California than here in LA County, as we had been warning about since forever, as they move to this new system of voting centers and to internet-reliant electronic poll books and to 100% unverifiable touchscreen computer ballot marking devices, or BMDs, in the most critical election of our lifetimes. At a vote center using that system in Silver Lake near downtown L.A., poll workers said computer network issues slowed the voter check-in, made some machines unusable. About one-third of the approximately 40 machines were being used, and some had out-of-order signs taped to them. The resulting line meant it took about an hour for voters to cast their ballot there. Christopher Krebs, the director of Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, described problems with poll books around the country as, quote, intermittent IT issues, but said that the intelligence agency had detected no malicious influence on Tuesday's election. So if true, that means, it was just all self-inflicted wounds, I guess, by domestic actors like the elections officials who implemented these stupid systems, despite the obvious perils of doing so. Well, at least obvious to me, and I suspect by now our listeners on this program, but then again, I'm not a cybersecurity expert or an election official, so what do I know? Of course, we have been warning about these very problems on this system in LA specifically for months and years, but as usual, the corporate media tend to wait to report on any of it, if they do at all, once it's, you know, too late to actually change the system, or even worse, as in many cases here, after the damage is done, as was the case in Texas and in California. And I also receive reports of similar problems in other states like North Carolina, which also used new 100% unverifiable touchscreens on Tuesday in their largest and most diverse jurisdictions, just like California and Texas, though I've yet been able to dig into what went wrong there in North Carolina. Similarly, and largely still unreported out of South Carolina's Saturday primary, the contest which appears at least to have made all the difference for the previously left for dead Joe Biden. There were also reports of failures on nearly 10% of the new touchscreen BMDs that South Carolina forced voters to use across the state on Saturday. Which is a good moment for me to remind you that problems on Election Day that may have affected the results nefariously or otherwise, just due to simple programming error, for example, they often do not come to light until several days, weeks, months, sometime after Election Day. So take the problem reports for now as just the tip of a potential iceberg as we try to sort through a lot of still incoming information. For example, Bloomberg News reports, this was late afternoon on Tuesday, that LA County's new $300 million voting system contributed to delays in the most populous area of the state. About 20% of the county's new voting machines were down as of noon Pacific time, according to Michael Sanchez, spokesman for LA County, for the LA County Registrar Recorder. County clerk.
The county itself reported that 20% of the county's machines were down at noon on Election Day.
And apparently he was talking, so that's coming from the county itself. That could be a conservative estimate. And he was talking specifically about the BMD systems. Bloomberg News says the system faced intense scrutiny in recent weeks from election integrity advocates. Really, Bloomberg? Like whom? But that number, that 20% number, was questioned by another reporter on Twitter, and whether the Bloomberg reporter got confused. Was it that with that 20% number, was he talking about the electronic touchscreen BMDs, or were they talking about the electronic check-in system? Well, Kartike Marotra, the reporter at Bloomberg Business, responded with a tweet saying, "No confusion, 20% of the BMDs were not functional." He says that is indeed quite a lot. E-poll books also had issues, but weren't included in that estimate of 20%, noting that CNN matched Bloomberg's reporting as well. So there was plenty that could go wrong, and as it turns out, plenty that did go wrong. I will be joined shortly by two Los Angeles County poll workers to find out what went wrong and or right in their two different precincts, voting centers, as they must now be called. After both, who had also worked, at polling places in years past, after they both put in about 3 or 4 days in total between Election Day and early voting here in L.A., as we begin to figure out what exactly went wrong with L.A. County Registrar, Recorder, County Clerk Dean Logan's $300 million boondoggle of a new system that at least you, if damn near nobody else, actually knew was coming because you listened to this program. Logan, by the way, who has long stopped answering my questions or appearing on this show and who falsely called me a liar on Twitter over the weekend, he's been very quiet for some reason over the past 12 hours. But LA Times Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers was finally able to get a very late night statement from him on Tuesday night. Logan said, "This was a challenging day for a lot of voters in LA County, and I certainly apologize for that." He says, "It was a heavy lift regarding the switch to the new system. I had hoped for a smoother transition." Logan said the lack of check-in options on the e-poll books at the vote centers was a key flaw, and also noted that voting centers in downtown LA where lines snaked around the block were, quote, too small and didn't have enough people to support them. You don't say. That statement made around 10 p.m. last night when folks were still waiting in line to vote in L.A. County and returns had not even begun to come out of Los Angeles. Speaking of returns, let's take a quick break and we will return to discuss actual results, at least as we know them at this hour from Super Tuesday, before diving back into what went so terribly wrong with our two L.A. County poll workers who will join us shortly. I'm Brad Friedman and you are listening to The Bradcast. You're welcome. Welcome back. It's the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. It was the biggest night of Joe Biden's half century in politics, according to Sahil Kapoor over at NBC. Bernie Sanders fell short but notched some valuable victories to make it a two-person race. Elizabeth Warren lost her own home state of Massachusetts, and Mike Bloomberg went bust on a $500 million bet. Saturday's South Carolina victory for Biden and the consolidation of moderate rivals, including last-minute dropouts and endorsements from Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar, not to mention from Beto O'Rourke in Texas. And even the fear of the coronavirus, he says, propelled the former vice president to victories in a majority of the 14 states that voted on Super Tuesday. From New England to the South to the Midwest, Biden reportedly, at least, according to the completely unverified results reported as of today, won Virginia, North Carolina, Massachusetts, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Alabama, Arkansas, Minnesota, and Texas on Tuesday. Sanders won Colorado, Utah, and Vermont, and it looks like he will have won California as well. But right now, it's too early to know for sure. Maine itself was also too close to call as of Wednesday morning, though a number of outlets have since called it a very narrow victory for Joe Biden, which neighbors Bernie Sanders, Vermont. The Vermont senator currently leads the former vice president here in California by about 8.5 points as we go to air with 87% of precincts reporting. He has 33.6% to Biden's 25% in California, followed by Bloomberg at just over 14% and Warren at 12%. If those numbers stay the same for Bloomberg and Warren, they will get no state delegates out of this. And as these numbers firm up and there is time to try and oversee their accuracy and or hear about other problems that may have occurred in either the casting or counting of the votes, we'll let you know if there are any concerns that arise. And of course, reminder, these are all unofficial numbers, not verified for accuracy by any human beings at this point, just counted by computers. So we'll let you know as we have time to look at these numbers and see if there are further concerns. In the meantime, New York Times reports that the delegate race now has Joe Biden up above Bernie Sanders with 433 to 388 national delegates. AP has slightly different numbers because they've gone ahead and accounted for numbers out of California, giving Joe Biden 566 delegates to Bernie Sanders 501. Elizabeth Warren, under that count, has just 61, and Bloomberg won 53 somehow in American Samoa and elsewhere. And with that, by Wednesday morning, the billionaire former Republican mayor of New York City, Mike Bloomberg, who decided to spend $500 million of his own money on his Democratic presidential run without winning any state at all, having no state to show for it, well, he dropped out. He spent, in case you're wondering, about $10 million per delegate that he won.
Wow.
He dropped out of the race and also endorsed Joe Biden. TPM's Nicole LaFon notes Bloomberg's dropout was expected after Biden's comeback on Tuesday evening. The former vice president won 10 states, but will likely end up neck and neck with Bernie Sanders in terms of delegates once California is fully accounted for. And now all eyes are on Senator Elizabeth Warren, Sanders' closest progressive ally. Last night, Warren, her campaign told reporters that she had no plans to drop out. But according to several reports today, the Massachusetts senator is reassessing after coming in third in her own home state last night, pushing the last female candidate with more than one delegate to drop out of the race appears to be something that diehard Sanders supporters and Donald Trump have in common right now. Both believe Warren's presence is only splitting Sanders' votes. We will pick up that ball on an upcoming show, I suspect. But now it's back to the trenches in Los Angeles with two poll workers who were there, who saw the mess, and frankly, helped to make things much better than they might have otherwise been, even as bad as it was for many voters. That's straight ahead on the broadcast. I'm Brad Friedman. Don't touch that dial.
It was an hour-long wait to get into this room. People can expect to wait for hours even after the polls close.
We've counted at least 200 students here waiting patiently.
Literally, even when you got inside the building, you still had to wait another 2.5 hours.
And waiting is the hardest part. Every day see one more card.
Indeed. Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. The waiting was the hardest part for, well, an untold number of Americans in several states, most notably in Texas and right here in California on Super Tuesday. Citizen election integrity advocate Lauren Steiner of the Robust Opposition tweeted around 4 p.m. on Super Tuesday in Los Angeles County, "Every single voter at UCLA has been given a provisional ballot. Check-in machines are telling them to do that, even if they're properly registered. Tech guy here can't figure out the problem." Dax Miller tweeted in response that in surrounding neighborhoods that got to take the UCLA overflow when they had lines of anywhere from 2 to 3 hours, that overflow swamped the smaller neighborhoods, adding 2 to 3 hour waits there. He says, "Felt for volunteers there. All three of them. It wasn't just on election day either that these problems occurred. During early voting, voting centers were down entirely in some cases across LA County. Others had reports of problems with the county's new unverifiable $300 million touchscreen computer ballot marking devices, or BMDs, that were failing, and with the electronic computer poll book check-in systems that were supposed to make it possible for LA voters to cast a vote at any one of about 1,000 new voting centers, which took the place this year for the very first time of LA's old community precinct system of 5,000 polling places or so. Some of the e-poll books were down at UCLA on Monday, leading to 2 or 3 hour wait times. One student, according to a report on Twitter, said a machine kept spitting back the ballot, refusing to accept it. That's the paper ballot that these computers print out, and then you have to put them back in. Mui Mexi on Twitter on Monday night said the overnight polling place in East Los Angeles had 10 voting machines. None are working. 20 people walked out because they were told they had to vote with provisional ballots. Scott Hill said, I voted in Santa Monica for the California primary, and almost every single voter, like myself, had to vote with a provisional ballot because the automated system could not sync up voter signatures with whatever the California Secretary of State has on file. He filed a complaint and noted, now is not the time to beta test our elections. Bernie Sanders, you may have heard of him, he filed an emergency federal lawsuit to try and keep the polling places open in Los Angeles until 1 a.m., given all of the reported problems. His complaint, frankly, looked, well, not unlike my show notes today, including one problem report after another. At Logan Elementary School in Echo Park, the wait was an hour long at noon due to 7 of 14 check-in stations not working and 2 of 5 check-in stations also not working. At Evergreen Recreational Center, the wait was reported as an hour and a half at 2 p.m. 3 of the 5 voting machines were down. The stories go on and on and on, and it wasn't just outages, according to some reports. Once again, Lauren Steiner notes that there were problems at Pacific Palisades Voting Center. She was there apparently with a member of the state assembly who said, after voting for my choice, the machine blinked and changed it to the first person on the list 3 separate times. One of the judge picks did the same. Machine blink, changing my choice to the first person listed. That happened twice. Someone else, I just voted at an LA voting center because it's a new system and instructions were unclear. A poll worker told me that people have been leaving with their ballots instead of putting them back into the machine. Poll workers are now reminding everyone they need to feed the ballots back into the machine in order for it to be cast. Todd Ratz said, great job with the new voting machines. Used to be a 5-minute wait. Now it's 2+ hours, but who has to be anywhere on a Tuesday workday? The results of all of these problems with LA County's new touchscreen systems and its first time countywide deployment in the most critical election of our lifetime in the nation's largest voting jurisdiction was foreseen on this program, if not many other places in the corporate media, who seem surprised when things melted down on Tuesday night.
Lines are even longer now. The polls close here in 10 minutes. This line right here is just the line to get a ballot. After that, they're going to go into this line. It was an hour-long wait to get into this room. There are only 5 voting stations in there. 3 of them are working. One has been out of commission for 4 days. The other one had a paper jam today. So there is a lot of frustration that is building in this room. These people can expect to wait for hours even after the polls close. And this is not unique to East LA. I've been getting text messages, emails, tweets from friends saying the lines are everywhere in this state are long.
We're here at UC Irvine, where the line stretches all the way around the block. We've counted at least 200 students here waiting patiently. Even though it's dark, the desire to vote here is very bright. I've spoken to several voters coming out. They've waited for 2 hours, over 2 hours. And what's really interesting here is that there have also been some power issues with the scanning of the ballots here at UC Irvine.
The whole time we were out here, they were saying that they had some more machines coming in because it was only 20 at first and 10 for Republicans, 10 for Democrats. But as we got closer and closer, like, people were coming out saying that the machines weren't working and there's only 2 people signing people up to go in there to use the poll. So
total staffers checking IDs to get people in.
Literally, even when you got inside the building, you still had to wait another 2.5 hours.
That last voter was a voter from Texas. The reporter in the middle there was reporting from Orange County, California. And that first one was in L.A. County, California, right here where we are. That carnage at the polls, particularly in L.A., those unspeakable failures of the new systems here, undoubtedly led to many voters choosing not to vote at all. That could, of course, happen this November as well, unless something is done, like perhaps returning to a system of hand-marked paper ballots, which are verifiable, along with, yes, even the old precinct system, where a paper poll book could be kept of all voters at each precinct so the system wouldn't become reliant on the internet and avoiding power outages and failing vulnerable computer systems to check people in. And it must be said that what happened on Tuesday could have been far worse without the tireless efforts of so many volunteer poll workers who work ungodly long hours on election day and during early voting for a paltry few dollars in recompense. While many voters sort of rudely dismiss such workers and criticize them for not being well enough trained, the blame for that, when it happens, should, in my opinion, fall on the county who hired them, not on the workers themselves. Now, there has been quite a bit of debate since Tuesday's voting center meltdown here in Los Angeles among journalists on Twitter and elsewhere as far as who was to blame. Was it the e-poll books? Was it the BMD systems? Was it were there not enough new voting centers? Were there a shortage of poll workers? Or was it just an issue with higher than expected turnout? Joining us now to shed at least some light on that debate and all of these issues are two of those heroic poll workers who, frankly, kept things from melting down even worse on Election Day, as far as I can tell. Larry Dilge worked this year at a voting center in Los Angeles's Lake Balboa, Van Nuys area. Larry, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hi, Brad.
Good to have you here. And a longtime poll worker who prefers to be known as only Doug here joins us as well after working similarly ridiculously long hours over the past several days at an L.A. County vote center in Glendale. Welcome to the broadcast, Doug.
Thank you, Brad.
All right. So, Larry, let me start with you. This is not your first time working at the polls in Los Angeles. That's correct, right? You've done this before?
I've done it for about the past 6 or 7 years, yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to ask how things went compared to previous years now that we have this new system. But first, let's start with how things went on Tuesday. Did your voting center have similar problems with e-poll books and the touchscreen ballot marking devices, or BMDs, as reported in so many other places?
We had similar problems, but I think we faced into the problems pretty well. I mean, you know, we had 25 machines in our room, and so the machines would sometimes stop working or get quirky or paper jams, things like that. So we would take them off offline, or just not make them available to the voters. Mm-hmm. And one of the people would work on it, to unjam the paper, to open the ballot box briefly in order to do that, and then close it and seal it again according to the chain of custody rules, which mm-hmm. take time. But seeing him do that is sort of a reminder that we're concerned with the integrity of that ballot box and with the privacy of the mm-hmm. The ballot itself. Mm-hmm. So I thought it went pretty well, actually, considering. I think the big thing I experienced was there were many more voters than we've ever seen in our center before, but maybe that's enough to say right now.
Well,
you can respond.
In your center before, previously there were 5,000 precincts. Now we only had under 1,000 voting centers. So there were presumably a lot more people voting, not necessarily because of turnout, but because their community precinct was no longer there, right?
Entirely, yeah. I mean, and people can come from anywhere. Mm-hmm. So, it doesn't have to be people in our neighborhood. Although most of the people did seem to be from our neighborhood that mm-hmm. came to that center, an elementary school, inside a residential area. Mm-hmm. But it's different, yeah.
How there has been some debate. The county, LA County, estimated that about 20% of the BMDs failed during the election. You said you had 25 machines at your voting center. How many? And discussed a few failures throughout the day. How many? What
percentage
did you put
in? Yeah, I would say we had. I think we had one or two machines that just were down for the count. other than that, it was almost like they got overloaded for a while and they needed a rest because we'd give them a rest and then we'd we'd sort of reboot them and they were back up and running and people were using them again. So I would say that the number would be closer to 10% than 20% in our mm-hmm. precinct.
Doug, so what broke down at your voting center in Glendale, and how did your voting center on Tuesday and in early voting days prior, how did it go there for you? Does it sound anything like Larry's experience?
Well, I think it was more typical. I had eight BMDs, and two of them broke, ultimately, with paper jams. So I had to take them out of action.
Mm-hmm.
And then Smartmatic people came and fixed those two because we had two spare units in our facility.
Now, let me ask you about that, because you had actually mentioned that in one of your emails to me, the Smartmatic people. Now, Smartmatic, that's the Venezuelan-based company who manufactured these machines at the request by the design of L.A. County itself. I didn't know that, other than, you know, building the machines, that they were actually going to be in here and touching and working on the machines. Are you sure those were Smartmatic people, not L.A. County election officials?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was, because that's who he said he was. He says he was Smartmatic, you know.
Mm, okay, and so they actually came in to look at the BMD systems during the election day?
Well, we had two broken machines, and because we had two complete spare units at our place, he just took the console out of the spares and put that in there, and we just replaced the whole console, basically. You know?
I see. And did the poll books, the so-called poll pads, the electronic poll books, how did those operate throughout the day?
Well, they seem to get worse and worse over time. Basically, the problem with them is they have to resync periodically with headquarters in Norwalk to update themselves so that they know who's voted and who hasn't voted, you know. And they were updating, according to my worker, they said she was updating, the machine was updating about every 15 minutes. So every 15 minutes, it was down for 2 or 3 minutes.
Hmm.
And whenever these things are syncing, that's when they produce the provisional ballot signal. In other words, they can't determine that the voter has voted or not, so they make that a provisional ballot. So we had a lot of provisional ballots because people didn't want to wait around for the machine to come back, you know, online, basically.
So basically that machine, that poll book, when you check in, it checks with the central database, you said, in Norwalk. That's the L.A. County headquarters. But theoretically, it checks in with the state system, does it not, to make sure this voter has not already voted before giving them the permission and printing out a QR code for them to take and use at a BMD? Is that what happens, essentially, when it's doing its sync up? It's checking to make sure they haven't voted and so forth?
Yeah, my understanding is that it updates every 15 minutes from the system at headquarters in Norwalk, which about who's voted.
Okay.
So the problem was this updating was taking quite a bit of long time, and it seemed to get worse and worse as more people voted. I suspect that's the reason it was taking longer.
Yeah.
And sometimes we only had two poll books at my location, and sometimes they were both updating at the same time, which meant that anybody who tried to process during that period had to vote with a provisional ballot, you know?
Larry, a lot of the reporting has said that the electronic poll books were really the bottleneck that were leading to a lot of these wait times we've seen around the county. There were plenty of voting machines available, but it was all the e-poll books. What was your experience with that? Did you have a similar problem?
I think that's where we saw the bottleneck at our place was getting through the poll book part of it. We always had, or almost always had, machines open for people when they came out of the poll book, and we had five people registering. We had, I think, seven poll books, and we were using five most of the time, and sometimes all seven. But it wasn't a particularly long wait, I don't think, for the poll books. I mean, compared to the old poll book thing we had, I think it was faster. Back in the old days, there were smaller places. We didn't have that many clerks, so it's kind of hard to make an accurate comparison. But somebody would come in, and there'd be that big poll book with all those pages, and they'd give their name, and you'd have to go through every page and down the list of where you live to find the name and then sign it. And that was all being done by one clerk. So we would have lines going, you know, all the way down the gymnasium and outside back in that time, nowhere near what we had yesterday. But had we had as many people encountering the same thing, it would have been even worse. So we can clearly get better on the e-poll books, but I didn't see them as a major impediment. After they got through that, there were pretty much enough machines for everybody to vote as soon as they finished with the poll worker. With the e-book.
Did you have any problems that had been reporting with, you know, syncing up with the county, or even some had reported having problems with, you know, getting a Wi-Fi signal or the AT&T? I guess they were using the AT&T cell phone signal. Any technical problems in that regard at your precinct, Larry?
Yes. I mean, our lead, our boss for the session, mm-hmm. Had a lot of time, a lot of hard time getting in touch with the registrar's office. She was on hold, you know, almost the entire time we worked. But the delays, you know, the 15-minute sync, it's what he said. It was pretty much the same for us. But we had quite a few poll workers. I mean, ebook people. So it didn't create a major problem, I don't think.
Now, Doug, I have received reports from some voters that votes were either flipping on their touchscreens or that they'd find that the wrong candidate was selected at the end of the process. Of course, there's no way to know if that was user error or BMD touchscreen error, but did you come across that as an issue at your polling place?
No, we didn't have any cases like that.
Mm-hmm. Larry,
we had a typical case where the ballot would spit out and they'd walk away with it, expecting to put it in a ballot box somewhere else. We had to train the voters to go back and put it back into the machines, or who goes in the ballot box that was attached to the machine, you know.
And there were quite a few reports of that. We played something yesterday on the air. A gentleman and his wife both thought that was their receipt when it printed out, which instead
right.
they were supposed to review it and put it back into the system. Was that a problem at your voting center, Larry?
It was a reality at our center. That was a weak link in the communication because it's so new.
Mm-hmm.
People were used to taking their ballot and taking it to a poll worker, and that poll worker would be, we had one person, you know, dedicated to that job of mm-hmm. putting it into a machine. I mean, it was a pretty easy job to do, but that was the drill for many, many years. Now, at this one, they actually could read their ballot, which is totally new, because they could look at the ballot and they're the names of the candidates that they voted for,
mm-hmm.
and that's right in front of them. And generally, they took it, you know, out of the machine it was lightly touching the edge of the machine. They would take it out and read it and hold it in their hands, and some would, walk away with it. My job, I was on the floor with the voters, and I would, when I saw the ballot starting to come out, I would go and accompany as many voters as I could and just say, here's what's going to happen. You're going to read it, and then you're going to put it back in. I would explain what it means to cast a ballot, and I would point to the box that was attached and said, this is the ballot box. But, we could have done better in advance of communicating with people about that. But then we need to do much better in advance of saying you have 11 days to vote. Don't wait to the last minute. I mean, I would hope in November we have videos of people waiting in line and saying you could work against this by voting on Sunday or voting on Saturday .
Although, to be fair, a lot of voters I know in the Democratic primary wanted to wait until South Carolina, which was just 3 days before Super Tuesday, in case candidates dropped out, and they did. A lot of them did drop out,
sure.
So I don't want to blame the voters in that regard.
I don't blame the voters exactly, but I don't know. I mean, but
Okay. Doug, I mean, you had a thought on that as well?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the voters weren't aware that they could vote days before Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they thought the election's on Tuesday, I'm coming on Tuesday, and they would come typically late. We had the longest lines were late in the day, you know.
Yeah.
And they weren't expecting it. At my location, they said, well, we never have lines here in the past, you know, how come there's a big line now?
Right. And you have both worked, as I said, in previous years as poll workers. Doug, let me start with you. Would you like to do you like this new system? Would you like to see it scrapped at this point, given the problems it caused? Or would you like to see it improved upon for future use?
Well, I'm concerned about the tally of the votes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to be tallied by precincts anymore. They're going to be tallied by batches of 1,000 ballots. I would like to see those batch tally reports available to the public before they do the random selection for the 1% manual count.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only way you have to determine if the count is being done accurately, you know?
And that's
all we have.
And that's an election integrity issue that a lot of folks like me have pointed out. You used to be able to oversee, you know, each precinct and get a better sense of what the votes were, what the tallies were at each polling place. Now there's no telling how people are voting in all of the various precincts. It's very hard to oversee, but that's a problem with voting centers overall, and I don't know that can be solved if you stick with the voting center model. Larry, your thoughts. Would you like to see this overall? Is this a better system, or would you like to see it scrapped?
Well, I think at the ground level of voting, I think it's a really good system. You know, I had so many people tell me. Now, I was accompanying people at the end part of the process, of the voting process,
mm-hmm.
and I had so many people tell me this is the easiest, you know, the easiest and best experience I've ever had voting. They were very, very grateful to see what they had voted for printed on that piece of paper. And, you know, we made it easy for people to change. I mean, you were talking earlier about people finding that things had been switched at the end. The biggest number of people who at the end of the process wanted to switch their ballot were the no preference voters, or the people who had, you know, found themselves in the American Independent Party,
mm-hmm.
who found that they couldn't, you know, they couldn't vote for the Democratic presidential candidate. And this was, you know, after the ballot had been printed and they were looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would tell them, yes, you can go back and change. We will void your ballot. You'll go back into that, you know, you'll mm-hmm. go back and speak to the people who registered you. You'll register as a crossover Democrat. If you want to re-register as a Democrat right now, you can do that as well. And then they would come back and they would vote. And, you know, it really felt like the voting system was working for them. So I think that's all very positive.
And that was due in no small part to about 2 weeks ago, Governor Gavin Newsom signed a new law that allowed voters to change their registration on Election Day right at the polls. Yeah,
that's right. I think that's really good. It made things a little slower. And, you know, part of the slowdown at the registration desk was people coming back and, you know, and now finally figuring out how the system is working and going, this is what I want to do as a voter. But, you know, some of this stuff will become, if we kept doing it, would become more routine and it wouldn't be a surprise for everybody.
Well,
I don't know much about the rest of it, the tallying it. Mm-hmm. I share Doug's misgivings and yours about that part of the process, and I think we should be focusing on that. I think we need better auditing of the election. It would be easier to do a human audit of these ballots than it was the old ones, just because they're much easier to read.
Well, that's true. We had lousy hand-marked paper ballots before that were like the old punch card systems, but with ink.
Right.
But Larry, do you have no concerns? My biggest concern, of course, there's a lot of concerns with these systems for me. But one of the biggest central concerns here that I don't see possibly being overcome is the fact that a computer-marked ballot after the election can never be known to reflect voters' intent. In other words, we don't know if that's what they meant to select or not. We don't know if they bothered to verify their ballot, and we don't know if, even if they did verify it, if they verified it correctly. There's a recent University of Michigan study that found that more than 93% of voters, 93%, did not notice when the computer changed their vote on the computer-marked paper ballot. That seems a wildly bad idea, making this so vulnerable to attack after an election. Does that not concern you, Larry?
Those Michigan voters, I think, I have great concern with them. The California voters that I saw,
yeah.
I would say that is not the case. I would say for the first time, I saw people intelligently considering what they had voted for, because they saw it on the electronic ballot marking device, and then it printed onto a piece of paper, and seconds later, the same information they had seen on that device was on the piece of paper. And some people just said, oh, yeah, sure, and they let it go. But a lot of people spent time looking at that piece of paper, and some took out their cheat sheets,
right,
and compared it to what they wanted to vote for before, and they had a very, very recent memory of what they had just seen
space. So you're suggesting those people in Michigan were just dumb, even though they were told that they too should look at their ballot?
I don't know what their system looks like. I don't know if they had seen it in the same way that you see it, you know, here in California, because, you know, remember when we were doing it with the punch cards and stuff, the ballots were on several different pages, as they are for us as we're voting. But then, mm-hmm, at the end of our process, you see all just your choices in a list. And that makes a lot more sense when they're just all organized like that, rather than remembering page 6 versus page 1.
Fair enough. And I'm not arguing in favor of our old system at the polling place. I'm arguing more in favor of the hand-marked paper ballot system that we are now using for vote by mail, which has all the names of all the candidates. You fill in a bubble, easy peasy, a piece of paper, and that gets either scanned or hand counted, and we can know it reflects the intent of the voter, in my opinion. But I hear
we have one other thing, Brad. We have the poll pass. let me just mention this. Uh-huh. You know, and not many people used it, but it made things so much easier. You know, they went to the registrar, obviously, for this poll pass, to participate in this, but they made their choices at home, thoughtfully, we imagine. They recorded them just as they would if they made a list on paper. And then they came in and they fed that into the machine, and then they got the same ballot that everybody else got. Only it took them, you know, it took them about 60 seconds to go through the whole process. But they got to check to make sure that what was on their poll pass electronically was on that paper ballot.
And I can only hope that they did so accurately. The problem is we can never know. But I hear you. Guys, I got to get out here. Doug and Larry, I want to, thank you both for your service. And I can't mean that any more than I'm possibly saying it. Poll workers are the heart of our electoral system at this point when it comes to election day, and you guys work ridiculously long hours for ridiculously little pay. Doug, will you be doing it again in November after this last experience?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Larry, are you in for November?
I guess so. I don't know. It was a lot of work.
I know it is.
I'm an idealist, though, and I love the feeling of Election Day. I have to say, yesterday was a very positive experience because there were people doing good things all around the room and feeling good about being, you know, being citizens in a democracy. That's, you know, that kind of civic experience is very different from a rally, and it's a beautiful experience.
There you go. I was going to ask if you would both recommend other folks did it. Actually, let me
ask. Absolutely.
Yeah? Yeah? Doug?
Oh, yes. We need more people always, you know.
You do indeed. We all do. Thank you guys both very much. Larry Dilge, who worked as an L.A. County election worker in Van Nuys, and Doug, also longtime L.A. County election worker in Glendale. Thanks both for joining us today on the broadcast, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, we got to get out.
yes, we're late.
Do. Thank you, Desi Doyen, our producer, and thanks to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. It is always appreciated. It is always an honor. If you missed any portion of today's program or any other, download it anytime for free at bradblog.com. Our thanks to those of you who keep us up and running by stopping by bradblog.com/donate. We are 100% listener supported, so thank you for that. You can drop me email if you like. I am bradcast@bradblog.com, and I read everything. You can also find, follow, and share what we do on the Twitters and the Facebooks at The Brad Blog. That's it, I think. Until we meet again tomorrow, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.